I'm Brendan McCormack, and welcome to the Perth Fit Fam podcast, where you get to hear from the best thought leaders and change makers from across the Perth fitness scene. In today's episode, we'll be catching up with Dan England. Dan is a nutrition specialist and the founder of Team Ecto. They focus on helping people reach their goals through a multifaceted approach to nutrition and training. He also currently works out a Surge Fitness in Clarkson and a physique coach in Myree. If you love what we do, then you can become a supporter of Perth Fit Fam by joining our fan subscriptions on Facebook and gain access to exclusive content, discounts on merch, and more. And make sure to give us a 5-star review on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher for your chance to win a Perth Fit Fam shirt, which will be given away at the end of every show. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoy the podcast. The secrets. Hey, what's Jess's Instagram handle?
Jess Hammersley.
Jess Hammersley.
Yeah.
Man, I meet so many people from around, and I know most people from their Instagram handles. Hey?
Oh yeah. We've had that before, like people go up and like, hey, I know you. I'm like, cool. what's your Instagram, you know? Like, you know, let me know, like I'll start following you. Like I want to get to know more people anyway that way, you know. So
yeah. I always think like that everyone sort of knows you. Like, I don't mean that in an arrogant way. I mean, like, I always think everyone knows everyone.
Yeah.
And then when I delve into it, the market's, like, so big. And so many people just discover you at a certain time. So there's always, like, room to grow, hey?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Perth in itself is pretty small. Like, It's, like, everyone knows each other by, like, some degree of separation. And then, like, the fitness industry in itself, like, everyone's even met someone at a course, or they've met them at an event and stuff like that, or like they've just caught up at some random time in a gym and like just kind of click, you know, and they go like, I've seen you somewhere, but I'm not sure where. And it's like, And they spend like the whole day like trying to figure out who you are. And then they just go like, oh, I saw you, you were on that post or something, or like, you know, like you got tagged in something. It's like, like, cool. Like, how's it going? Like,
yeah.
And that's kind of like the beauty of social media, I believe.
Yeah.
Is like, it's connecting people a lot more.
Yeah. I think it's like I spoke about it before. So I part of my challenge for this year is to not use personal social media at all.
Yeah.
So I'm only just using the Perth Fit Fam social media. One of the things is I think it's a great broadcasting tool. So you can reach and connect to so many people at once.
Yeah.
But then the downside is you can become so obsessed by it that it detracts away from your life.
Yeah.
It's been part of the discovery so far, but I've freed up so much time that I can focus on what matters, and the results that I've been getting from what matters like has increased so much, which has been good. The biggest negative of not having personal social media for me is if – like, let's say you bump into someone or you're going to catch up with someone and you need to know who they are.
Yeah.
And I can't just – because I don't have the app on my phone. I can't just quickly flip through the app and be like, oh, yeah, cool. That's what happened.
That's
why
they got notes though. Just
notes.
Just type in your notes and then find out later.
I should probably actually just get a good memory, hey?
Mine's atrocious. I have like books for everything and like apps on my phone to remember stuff. So, yeah, it's just because we're constantly like on the go work and stuff. So –
We're cyborgs, man. We're cyborgs. Yeah. We're already there. All right, Dan England from Team Ecto. Welcome on. The most requested guest that we had was, so I put a poll out and I said, who do you guys want to hear from? And you were the most requested. So I'm like, all right, let's kick off 29 with Dan England.
It's like super humbling, eh? Just to be like having people actually want to hear me. Like, I still think, you know, like, and I mean, still do that. You know, I'm just a guy, just like anyone else, just trying to make a dent in the fitness industry and just help out as many people as I possibly can. So like to hear people actually want to hear me, I'm like, what? I'm like, this is crazy.
It's a bizarre thing. But man, like I said, I did a story before we came in and I think like instantly I just had so many people message me excited for it. Tell us about like how you started, like how'd you get into the fitness industry?
So I was in kind of the fitness industry like from like a young age. So like from about like 13, 14, I started like doing martial arts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then like I did a few like interstate fights and stuff. And then from there, like I hurt my shoulder and like my eye a little bit from like a last fight I had. And then like I just started going into like more the commercial gym scene and then just found that like I couldn't really help a lot of people in ways like, you know, like there's only so much you can do with training and stuff. So I was like, okay, I need to expand and become like a little bit more knowledgeable and stuff. And I went to uni, did uni for a little while.
What'd you study?
So I studied a bachelor's in sports science and then biochemistry. And then I decided to major in nutrition. So then become an accredited nutritionist and then went on to do a master's in dietetics, which is still current.
So dietitian means that, dietetics means that you're a dietitian.
So I'm still doing that right now. Okay. So like, so that means more so you can work with like medical population and stuff like that. So with nutritionists, most of the time they can work with people who are healthy or deemed to be healthy. And then a dietitian has that ability to go a little bit further in depth with some things.
So at the moment you're a nutritionist, but you're studying
to be a dietitian. Yeah, still studying it. Yeah.
Yeah. Do many people in the industry have both? Do many people in the industry, within our part of the industry, I should say, are they specialists as a dietitian where they can work medically?
There's a few. I don't know them personally or anything, but I know there's a few good dietitians out there that like do work at that. But most of the time they'll work like in clinics and stuff like that. So even hospitals and stuff. And that's kind of like where you would tend to go more to. So I think the good thing with like, you know, having the exercise background and then nutrition is that you can really complement the two very well. And then like just with enough like education and reading, like, you know, further reach of that, it can just help it tenfold.
Now you, I mentioned that I was going to do this podcast and one thing that someone said, I forget who it was, but I think it was a conversation yesterday and I forget, but it goes to show how many people I catch up with. But they said one thing they like about you is that you upskill and you upstudy so much and you just finished the Ben Pekowski course on the weekend.
Yeah, the muscle camp one, with Dr. Shallow, That's I think that's the biggest thing like in this industry is like a lot of people like after the Cert 3 and 4, they kind of will stop for a while. And I'm like, well, like it only teaches you like just the brush the surface. Like there's so much more that you can do and like kind of delve down like a certain niche that you're interested in. So like obviously we're interested in like body composition, you know, like transformation and stuff like that. So like I go, okay, what can I do to make that better? How can I service like our clientele so much more better? Again, okay, I need to go do a course. I need to do this. I need to like always doing something. So like, I get joked about a few times saying like, I basically, if there's a course in Perth or like in Australia, like I'm on the next plane and I'm going there, but it just goes to show like the amount of education going. And I mean, I've been doing this for like a few years now and I'm still going all the time. Like there's always something new you can learn, you know, whether it's a way you can shape the wording around it or like the different contexts, there's always something you can learn from going to a course. So
what's the best course that you've ever been to?
Oh, that's like
that's a loaded question.
That is a loaded question. Like, I mean, I love like muscle nerds. I think that like the stuff they do mainly like, you know, in around general population and stuff and like being able to help like every single person and put it into a really good context. So it's not just like, here's the protocol, go do it. It's okay. Well, what if they have this issue? Okay. Well, this is how you would approach it, you know, and just like the only limitation then is like your imagination to how you approach each person. So it's very individualized. It's very like integrative. So it's not just like, okay, one size fits all. It's they give you all the tools you need. So I love their stuff.
Muscle nerds. I'm going to come back to a question which I had first, but based on what you just said, what's the most common issues or mistakes that people make? So talking about muscle nerds and saying like you deal with different situations based on those issues. So what's some of the most common issues that you come across?
The most common, like it's the simple, everyone eats less and do more kind of philosophy. Like, and like when I mean that, like, you know, going like real super low calorie training really, really hard, whether it's resistance based or cardiovascular work and just keep doing that again and again. And then like they get a result at the start, but then at the event, eventually they're going to hurt themselves down the track. And like, then that's when like they don't know what to do. They put on like 10, 15 kilos or so. And then they go, well, I know that this worked last time. And they just kind of go back to it. And it's like the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
Mm.
So I think that's the biggest issue I see. Like when people come is like, you know, we get messages from time to time going like, how can you get people like girls eating over 2000 calories and getting leaner? I'm like, well, it's because we understand like how the human body works and like, we can program according to that and still get you there. And then when we need to go a little bit lower, it's not like 1,000 calories. It's like, you know, 1,600 or so. And they look phenomenal for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. People rebounding it. Like just talking about insanity and people like knee jerking back to common things.
Yeah.
Even me. So I did my body fat measurements at the start of the year to set some goals. And I was the fattest I've been in 2 years. Not like I was fat, but I was like fat for me. And a knee jerk reaction was, and this is so stupid, especially after doing 12 months of extreme dieting with keto, vegan macros and knowing, okay, cool. It essentially comes down to a calorie surplus or calorie deficit. And my initial knee jerk reaction was, oh, maybe I should go keto.
And that's the thing. It's what people will find is it's comfort for them, you know? And that's the thing, like being, understanding that every person's different. You create it based on what they like to do, you know? Like, and you know, if someone likes keto, I'm not going to say, no, that's the most stupidest thing ever. We'll work around it. And then eventually, you know, we can start creating like, you know, not so much like thinking there's one dogmatic way of doing things, or like it's like everyone thinks like nutrition is like some sort of religious cult. Like, you know, you're either vegan, you're either keto, you're paleo, you know, it's just nutrition.
Yes.
Like work around what the person wants. And then eventually you educate them into, you know, getting what's the best result for them for a long-term sustainable manner, not just going, no, this is the only way we do it. And we've seen people come to us and go, no, like keto is the only way. Like I lose 5 kilos on keto. I'm like, well, yeah, cool. That's majority of the time water weight in the first couple of weeks. Like,
it is. Yeah.
So I think education is the most important thing with a lot of, like when you're talking to clients. Like, I don't think trainers tend to do that because they want to like withhold that information because they don't want their clients leaving them for that sense.
Giving them the power and then not having the value there. It's like a magician revealing their tricks.
Yeah. Like, I mean, well, we all know magic, like from time to time, is a little bit fake unless it's like Houdini stuff, you know? Yeah. So like, I don't mind like, you know, educating my clients. So we have like Facebook pages and stuff like that where we go into like full in depth on everything. So it's nothing's hidden, you know? So, but also it gives them so much more power and knowledge and they know why they're doing the thing. So then they become more kind of motivated and inclined to do that, you know, rather than just going like, oh, I don't know why I'm doing it because my coach said so.
Yeah, I think when they buy into it, then they feel like they have that empowerment as well. You know, they would definitely have a higher success rate because they'll be grabbing a hold of it. Like they'll be more
totally,
invested in
it. Totally. It's definitely like, you know, just understanding why they're doing the thing they're doing in that particular moment in time. It's phenomenal. Like, and when you can hear like your clients talking to people in the gym and they actually know what's going on and they can explain it in such a way that you're just like, all right, I've made an impact on that person's life. That's what gets me,
Man, that's cool. Now, what are some of the philosophies, talking about the different things out there? So, you know, the different religions or cults, you know, your keto, vegan, macros. What's some of the philosophies or principles that you follow and why?
So, like, principles really, it's like we always believe it's always context. So when I mean by that, like everyone just goes like, oh, it depends. And it's like, well, it depends on what the situation is right now. So we don't like to just stick to one kind of way of doing things. Like one person may have a completely different program to another one. So it's always understanding like how that is and why that is, like to me. So like education is like one of my biggest philosophies. Like if I believe that we should always be upskilling to become a better trainer, no matter what, like even if it's, you know, buying a book that you're interested in, like, you know, and reading that and then going a little bit further in depth or like reading research articles and stuff to help empower you, but also empower your clients. That's what I believe is like the most important thing, you know.
And what about from a nutritional standpoint when you're writing programs for people?
So I'm a big kind of advocate for like flexible dieting and stuff. And I know like there's like people will go like, you know, meal plans are the only way and stuff like that, or like intuitive eating and stuff. But I believe like if you can get a client who, say you've got someone who has been dieting for ages, but like every week they binge on chocolate. Okay, well, how about instead of you creating that restriction kind of feeding pattern, why not give them a little bit of that every day, but then allow it to be in their total calories, the protein, carbs, and fats. But then the rest of the time they can eat a really kind of like set good meal plan, you know? So something that you can create like where it's nutritious, it hits all their micronutrients, you know, their fiber intake, water and sodium, potassium and stuff like that, but still allow them to have that. Watch how fast that restriction drops because they go like, I can have it every day if I want to. And most of the time we get told, hey, can you take out my meal plan now? Cause I'm sick and tired of eating chocolate. And I'm like, okay, we can do that now for you. You know, what would you like instead?
Yeah.
You know? So I believe like that's a lot more better long-term approach to doing things.
Agreed.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Have you read Barefoot Investor?
No, I haven't, no.
Okay, so that's on your list for this year. So yep. Read that. And the reason why I bring this up, because I compare flexible dieting to Barefoot Investor. So the principles there is that you have four bank accounts. So you've got your daily expense account, your splurge account, your smile account, which is like your savings.
Yeah.
And then your fire extinguisher, which is like either paying off debt.
In case of emergency one. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And it's a very, very simple plan for personal finance where if you stick to it, you're guaranteed to get a result. Like it's just going to happen. And it's so simple that anyone can do. So I always compare like a macros or a flexible dieting plan to be somewhat similar where you've got your macronutrients and your fiber. And within that, you can incorporate the treats which you like, which I would compare to like having a splurge account where if you want to go splurge,
yeah.
Hey, I've got room in my bank for the splurge. I can do that or I can eat that. And it's still within my goal. So it's guilt-free.
Yeah.
Which mentally I think is awesome. Sustainably I think is awesome. And growing up in that bodybuilding mindset of chicken, rice and broccoli,
yeah.
It's way better.
And that's the thing. Like some people work really well on like that such a rigid plan and then others don't. And that's the thing. The biggest thing when it comes to like any sort of long-term results is like compliance and consistency. So if a client is compliant on eating chicken, rice and broccoli, then great, you know that they can do it. If they don't like the idea of having, I don't know, like Pop-Tarts, for example, pre-workout, then you're not going to give them Pop-Tarts, you know, because they're not going to be compliant with that because they're going to have a refusal to eat it.
Yeah.
Whereas if you've got like, you know, a mom of two who's coming in, she wants to, you know, look good for summer and stuff, and her thing is every night she eats dinner with the family, well, chicken, rice, and broccoli may not be appealing to the rest of the family. Absolutely so she's making not. Two different meals now. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be very, very stressful on her, which is then, you know, it's just going to be a pain. And she's going to more likely just cook one meal and just eat whatever's there.
Yeah.
So that's where I think like consistency and compliance are the two biggest determinants on how like you should write a plan. And then that's where the flexible dieting will fit into that more nicely.
What about tracking? Do you recommend people use MyFitnessPal or something similar?
So I like MyFitnessPal. There's a thing recently where they said there was a slight inaccuracy with it. So it's around about 13% inaccuracy.
Okay.
Purely because anyone can add a food item in and then based on where it's at. So if they choose like the verified like green tick food items, I think that's a really good way. I use Easy Diet Diary. It's Australian stuff and it's got barcode scanner and stuff and you can enter your own foods in.
Yep.
I know my partner Olivia uses MyFitnessPal, I'm Easy Diet Diary. So we have a few kind of arguments at home, like which one's better. But
it's another cult.
It's like MyFitnessPal is better. I'm like, it's like, I mean, either one's fine. Again, it comes down to consistency and compliancy. So if you're consistent at using it from time to time again, great. If you're not, then, you know, it's not the end of the world.
Like that really hits a nail on the head, like just consistency and compliance. That's all.
That's it. Like every plan works. Like that's the thing. Every plan works. The only reason why it doesn't is because like you go on an 8-week challenge or you do something, you're compliant for 8 weeks, but then afterwards it's like, well, cool. What do we do after this?
It's game on.
It's like, you're like, oh, I've done it. I've reached my goal in 8 weeks. Cool. Yep. Now I'm going to go back to eating normal again. Okay. Well, you didn't factor that in, so now you've put on probably 2 or 3 kilos on top of like your new weight, and then you go, ah, I know what worked, what I did in the 8 weeks. So you're going back and forth again. It's that insanity thing. So yeah. I think if people can understand like how to make it a lifestyle, we're gonna have like, well, I might be out of a job by that point, you know.
I reckon more people would come to seek advice if they understood that. Like, unless you're a bodybuilding competitor, where obviously they fluctuate based on seasoning because they need to get to a very, very low body fat percentage, your nutrition should be a lifestyle. Mm. And I made this point with New Year's resolutions. Someone put a post out asking about resolutions. And so my thing this year was not being on social media. So my resolutions are personal challenges. If anyone has a money resolution, like start saving money, or a weight loss resolution, like I want to lose weight, it's like, well, that should be a byproduct of you're either been on a flexible diet or you're following a Barefoot Investor, and it shouldn't be a short-term thing. It should be just part of your lifestyle.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like when people go to train. Okay. So yeah, I think there's a difference between exercising and training, you know, like training, you're going in with a purpose, with an intent to actually do something and progress and become better than the person you were before. So if we then talk to people and go, well, why don't we focus on training, you know, for performance and improving that, and then your nutrition's now fueling your performance in the gym, well, the byproduct is you're going to have a better body, you know, you're going to probably be a little bit leaner from it, you're going to be fitter, you know, you're going to have all the things that come with an athletic looking body. I mean, like, unless, you know, you want to look like a sumo wrestler, like most athletes, they look good.
Yeah,
like, you know,
absolutely.
What I mean? Like, so that's where I think, like, a lot of people do, like I said at the start, it was like they undereat, they overtrain, and then they don't get the results that they're after. Whereas, you know, training for performance, fueling your body with the correct food for you and making it fit your lifestyle, that's the winning solution right there.
Yeah, and just mentally as well, if people aren't training specifically for aesthetics, and like you said, the mentality is you're eating and you're training and you're eating for performance, I think it changes that mindset as well.
100%. Like, I wish, like, I know, like, for example, like you do CrossFit. I wish a lot more people kind of go into that mindset of like what CrossFitters do. Like, they go in and it's, you know, they have a certain objective that they have to do in that session, and then they fuel their body so well. Like, I don't, like, see CrossFit as under-eating, and I don't see them underperforming.
You can't.
That's it. Like, you know, I mean, like, I do nutrition for CrossFitters and stuff, and, like, you know a few of them, and same thing. Like, the only comments I get is if they had a crap session, and then it's like, okay, well, let's adjust, like, your foods now to see, okay, did you perform better? Yes, I did. Okay, cool. Keep it as that.
Yeah.
You performed great. Okay, now, you know, continue performing, and then they send me photos, and they look phenomenal, and I'm like, oh, I could put this up as a, you know, an 8-week transformation if I want to, you know?
Yeah. And the thing, I think with the CrossFit space and not being biased towards it, but generally speaking, CrossFitters are lean most of the year round. They don't fluctuate.
Yeah.
And they're generally leaner apart from when bodybuilders get into a competition period.
Yeah.
And I think that comes down to that mentality of training and eating for performance.
Yeah. It's like, I know, like, I've got friends in the coaching industry and stuff, and it's the same kind of thing, you know, you train for performance, you eat to match your output and your performance, and then next thing you know, they're like, they have phenomenal results year round. And then when it does, like, if they do decide to maybe put someone into a competition or a bodybuilding scene, and then they just reduce that intake slightly, they still perform it. And next thing you know, they're just 1,000 times leaner again. And it's like just a small decrement rather than, like, you know, cutting down everything, doing double sessions, you know, eating your chicken, rice and broccoli, sometimes not even the rice, you know? And it just baffles me sometimes.
Now, talking about your recent infiltration into CrossFit, thanks to our good friend Ray from Pray for Ray. I'm sure most people listening know about Ray. So tell us a little bit about Team Ecto and what you guys do.
So we're known as a hybrid company. So we have both online coaching, but also face-to-face coaching in a few different facilities. So we specialize mainly in, like, transformations. So what I mean by that is if someone comes in and they want to be a better version of themselves, that's what we do. So we specialize, obviously, with our training. So we have some really awesome coaches. And then also, you know, we give you nutrition, just like I said, to facilitate that transformation. So it's a long-term thing rather than just like a short-term fix. Like, I don't like that thing, like, you know, your 6 to 8 week things. Like, I know some coaches out there do it phenomenally well, but I think a lot of the time it doesn't give you the skills needed for afterwards and to make it a lifetime. Because if someone doesn't want to coach with us after a while or anything like that due to, like, you know, financial reasons, something, they haven't read the Barefoot Investor and they haven't got their savings in check, you know, I know that they're still safe.
Yeah,
like, you know, they've learned the skills that they need and they can still train, they can still eat to perform it. They know what to do based on that, and that's our job.
So you guys are empowering people, helping give them their education and knowledge for them to go off and do their own thing.
Exactly.
If they eventually so choose to do that. I would say that most people, if you guys are really providing them with good value, even when they get it, I would say that a lot of them would still just want to be a part of it anyway.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, we call ourselves, like, you know, a family, like a tribe, you know, like we all help each other. Like, we all come from different aspects, different domains of, like, you know, fitness, from, like, you know, your CrossFitters to bodybuilders to, you know, fighters and stuff like that, to people who just want to feel good in their own skin. Mm-hmm. Like, we all come together and we all communicate. We have just such a good environment, and that's, like, one of the biggest things that, you know, we really want to focus on.
And you've got a real good team under you now. I was saying before that when I spoke to Josh, if someone asked me who I personally think who was making tracks in the industry and who's really grown over the past 12 months, watching where you've come, like I said, oh yeah, it'd be Dan from Team Ecto for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, you guys have done exceptionally well.
It's been a crazy year. Yeah. There's a lot of sleepless nights, that's for sure. But
it's worth it.
Yeah, it's worth totally. Wouldn't change a day of it, you know?
Yeah. So what I want to know is I got a few questions about you. So yeah. Who do you most look up to, or who would you suggest for people to follow outside of yourself?
I wouldn't even say follow me. I just put up a lot of transformations. That's about it. and worldwide or like local?
Worldwide. Worldwide.
Worldwide.
The people that you follow. So in nutrition recently, I'd probably say Mark Carroll would be one of them for me.
Yeah.
I think he's doing a little bit. I would say Sebastian Orob as far as like local, as far as like Australian sort of guys. But as far as fitness professionals, who would you suggest to follow?
Look, like, I mean, I've done mentorships with a ton of people over the last like couple of years. Definitely like for trainers who want to like hone their craft and understand it, like you can't go past like Luke Tulloch from Lucid Health Coaching. Like he taught me physiology like better than I learned in university. Anything from like, you know, Eric Helms, Lane Norton, those guys are killing it right now. Even like Jackson here in Perth.
I haven't met Jackson yet actually.
I haven't, and I've just read his papers, and I was like, "Fuck!" I was like, "This is some great stuff." So definitely, like, I mean, if he sees this, you know, let's catch up. I want to talk. You know,
I'm sure he will.
Yeah,
like I guarantee you, someone's going to tag him with this.
Alice Round as well. You know,
yeah,
Sean,
my good friend Alice.
Yeah, like love those guys. Like they're doing great things in the industry as well.
Just on that as well. I haven't spoken with Jackson before, but I know that Alice and Sean did a really good podcast with him. And so I'll put this and everything in the show notes.
Should we
as
do
well.
It like this? Like just link in the box below or something?
Below.
Like,
I'm definitely not gonna put it on this video. That's too much work.
So like, you know, those guys and like, you know, Muscle Nerds, like I said before, like I've done every time they come to Perth, that's one of the top guys that I go chat to. Dr. Jordan Shallow for like anything like injury prevention. So, you know, like he's helped me with a lot of my clients when like I'm going, okay, I don't know how to fix this issue now. Like, how can you do it? And he breaks it down so well. So like definitely those guys, like for me, are the ones that I would recommend like anyone. If you can just even just message them and say, hey, like, can we chat or like get a consult? Definitely do it.
That's awesome, man. Now, what's your favorite cheat meal?
Oh, I actually, sad as it sounds, I love sushi. Like
that's good.
Like I know it's like the most crappiest cheat meal because it's just like carbs and protein. But like you get me to like, you know, Teo or Mr. Munchies or something. I'm going for it. Like, you know, like
I was gonna say, what's your favorite sushi place? So mine is definitely Mr. Munchies. That like, place is next level.
We went there the other day and like, oh my god, like because obviously it's a far little drive away from me. So like me and Olivia went to Dodie's and trained and it's like 6 minutes away. It's like post workout. Went there and just, you know, I broke my bank account that day for sure.
Yeah. So if no one's eaten at Mr. Munchies yet, you've got Mount Lawley as well as Vic Park, and definitely get on it. They do like an East meets West sort of sushi. Like there's awesome stuff there. I'm going to make sure that they sponsor this show, by the way. I'm going to hit them up for that. Mr. Munchies, just say Perth Fit Fam, tell them that you're going to get a discount, but just don't expect one. What's your favorite clean meal?
I like a slow pot. Like I'm a slow cooker kind of guy at the moment just because like time and stuff like that. So like chili con carne, so I kind of go to with some rice. So like, you know, you got like your beef, you got kidney beans, a bit of like passata sauce and some like master food seasoning on it. And then that I can eat that every day. Like if that was my one meal I'd have to eat every day, I'm good.
That's so cool. I know Sean, Alice's Sean.
He
was inspiring me with some of his stories because I've got one at home too, but I did mine because, you know, CrossFit and bone broth and all that sort of garbage. So I used to use it for that. But honestly, if no one has a slow cooker, get a slow cooker because you cook it overnight and your meals for days are done.
The other one, like I've got like a George Foreman steamer.
Okay.
Things are bomb. Like honestly, like you just put your like your foods in there and like, it's got multiple stacks. Just turn the timer on and it dings and switches itself off once you're done. So it's perfect. Like I can go off, train like clients in the morning, do my check-ins and stuff, come home and like my food's down. I just grab it and off I go. So
man, there's so much cool stuff now, hey?
Yeah, especially like if you're very time poor. And I think a lot of people these days, like that's the biggest thing that we see is like, you know, it's a time management thing.
Yes.
So like having those two tools is perfect, especially for like me. Like you said, in the last like 12 months or so, like we've just been like creating like traction, you're just getting busy and busy. Like I tend to forget to eat some days, you know, and I'm just like, oh, okay, I'll just call this a 24-hour fast or something, you know. So like definitely having those there is just a lifesaver.
On that, before I move on to the final question, what's your thoughts on fasting? Do you do it? Do you put it into programs? And just what's your general perception?
Like, are we talking like intermittent fasting or are we talking like a 24-hour fast?
Both. Because Cheryl, I'll break this up. I've done a lot of intermittent fasting, not even just for the health benefits, because I don't know. I haven't tested that side of it. But just for me, the productivity benefits, because I work a lot in the morning. And if I don't need to eat and I can eat from, let's say, 12 until 8, for me, that frees up my day.
It's so... I'm going to say it depends, and I'll give the context behind it. So if you're looking at it in terms of like, you know, like it fits your lifestyle, it's not a bad thing. Like, I mean, I do it occasionally just because like, you know, if I'm working like 5 in the morning and I'm training people and I don't want to eat at like 4 because I'm going to feel sick, or, you know, trying to make food at 4 o'clock in the morning is going to wake my dog up, you know, and I eat barks a little loud. So for me, it's a little bit different. But if your terms are like, you know, protein timing and stuff like that, you know, you need that kind of like nice muscle protein synthesis, muscle protein breakdown, like that undulation of it. So that's where I'd say it probably is not the best if you're focusing on like physique development and stuff like that. But if it's, again, you can be consistent and you're compliant, you know, like overall total day, then I don't see an issue with it. But if you're trying to like add, you know, that 1% to certain things, then, you know, I wouldn't say it's great. The 24-hour fasting thing, I haven't done one to say from that. Like, I mean, they talk about it like, is it autophagy or autophagy or however you say it, like it has better benefits for that, which is like programmed cell death.
Yes, but, yeah, you're right.
But I mean, I don't know the research on it too well to actually stipulate, so I don't want to say anything on that right now. Like I would have to really look into that.
My big thing with this is I'm a big fan of a lot of, I guess, you know, your Tim Ferriss's, your Aubrey Marcus's, these biohacky sort of people. But I rarely see one that – produces better results than myself. And when I look at that, and I'm talking like physique, like how to hack muscle growth and all this sort of stuff, and I'm like, well, if I look at you, I wouldn't be inspired to look like you.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how much of that advice I would take on.
I think it all depends. Again, it's consistency and compliancy. So if you do say like, I don't know, 24-hour fast like every 2 weeks or something, you know, okay, well, are you still allocating like calories throughout the week for that? You know, because if say you're on like 3,000 calories a day and then, you know, that's 21,000 calories in a week. Okay. Well, one day you've reduced that now by 3,000. So are you spreading that throughout the other days, or are you just continuing as normal? Because that might be like, I don't know, I'm not going to try this anytime soon, but just theoretically, it might be like a way to reduce your intake by 3,000 calories.
Yeah.
So that might be a good little fat loss trick, but don't try that if you do, like, you know, seek professional help.
Disclaimer,
but
seek Team Ecto beforehand. He's not going to suggest it. I know Shell does that, so my partner does that. Yeah. She'll do 24-hour fast maybe every couple of weeks, but then she pushes up her macros.
So she's
the ultimate ultimate accountability person, hey?
Yeah.
Like, everything is so tracked. If you had one piece of advice for the Perth Fit Fam community in relation to nutrition to take away, what would that be?
Just the two C's again. Like, on it, I don't know. It sounds
everyone
like it's
wants
so
a silver
simple.
Bullet, bro. Everyone wants a silver bullet.
Yeah, everyone wants that magic bullet. And it's like, okay, well, like, one, I'd probably say, like, can I swear on this?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, like, fuck the scales for a start. Like, everyone hooks themselves on the scales, you know what I mean? Like, they go like, you know, so we'll say like, what's your goal weight?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we always write it in our questionnaires. What's your goal weight? What do you want to get to? And they always have a number. But it's not so much the number itself. It's the emotions and the identity that they had with that number. You know, like they were leaner there, or they felt good there, or people loved them in that certain thing. So it's more so for me, I'm like, well, if, you know, I take away one thing, it's more so like, be happy with yourselves where you are, and then you're going to enjoy the process so much more.
Yeah.
And you're actually going to find the results better, because you're going to look at everything from like, you know, the grass is greener approach. Like, you know, like your grass is pretty green if you water it.
Yes.
You know, like everyone just goes like, oh, I wish I was like that person. Or I just wish I was like that person. It's like, well, you're not. Like, I don't want to be another person. I want to be me.
Yeah.
I want to be the best version of myself. So if like, you know, if someone says like, I want to lose 5 kilos, well, why do you want to lose 5 kilos? Mm. What was that to you? Like that 5 kilos, did you feel good then? Did you feel happy? Like, what did you look like? Well, like, what emotions did you have around that? Like, but everyone still hooks themselves on that relationship with gravity, because that's all it is.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you don't believe me, stand
a relationship with gravity.
Yeah, that's
a really good way of putting it. Hey,
I learned that from Big Bang Theory, man. Like, everyone says I'm like Sheldon, so yeah. I'm rolling with it. He's like, gravity's a heartless bitch. It doesn't care whether it's muscle, whether it's fat, whether it's water, whether it's, you know, you've had a crappy night's sleep, or it's, you know, if it's women, if it's your time of the month, you know, it just measures straight up and down.
Yeah.
And like, don't believe me, go hop on the scales with a liter of water. I guarantee you weigh more without it. Like, yeah. You know, like, so I think that's probably the biggest take-home message. Like, you know, train for performance, feel your body to match your performance, and enjoy the process.
Yeah.
Like, unless you're getting ready for a show, like competitions, getting that lean there's going to be some hard work and suffering eventually.
Yeah.
But get healthy until you have to become unhealthy.
Yeah.
You know, and that would be what I would say to most people. Like, you know, like, it's a lifestyle. Enjoy it.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Definitely. It's a lifestyle. Enjoy it. Gravity's a bitch. All right. Now, if someone wants to contact you, best way to do that?
So best way to contact is either on our email. So hello@teamecto.com.au, mm-hmm. or you can check us out on social media. So it's just @team_ecto. Or my personal one, which is @Dan_TeamEcto.
Awesome. We'll put all of those in the show notes. Thanks for being on, Dan.
No worries.
Appreciate it.
Pleasure, mate.
That's it for this episode. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you did, then make sure to give us a 5-star review on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher for your chance to win a Perth Fit Fam t-shirt, which we'll be giving away at the end of every show. And just remember that if you love what we do, then you can become a supporter of Perth Fit Fam by joining our fan subscriptions on Facebook, and you'll gain access to exclusive content, discounts on merch, and more. Thanks for tuning in, and stay tuned for more of the Perth fitness scene to come.